The offertory is the sacrament of the free church. Your gifts are gratefully accepted and gratefully given in support of the activities of this religious community. Now is the time in our service for our sharing of joys and concerns. If you have a personal joy or concern you would like to share with the rest of us, please raise your hand and the usher will bring a microphone for you. Then state your name. Give your first name and your joy or concern, and I'll light a candle for you. This is our tradition. I'll light our first candle this time in commemoration of all the events in North Africa and in Egypt. And let's just hope for a good outcome from all of this.
My name is Easy, and I was sort of piggybacking on what Jerry said, and I think there's a lot of eyes watching what's happened in Egypt, and it's a joy and concern. I am joyful that the violence has stopped, but I'm very hopeful that the outcome and what results from this is something that they can live with in a good form of democracy or however that works, because I think there's a lot of countries on the precipice of change or sort of watching keenly as to the outcome there and what avenues they might take to pursue either changes or the way that they operate their countries. So I wish everyone the best.
Hi, my name is Janica, and joy and concern. Joy, because spring is coming, I can hear the birds singing, and I love that. And concern for our state in terms of what's going on in Madison, state-level government right now. Some of my friends and I think it's time to take to the streets a little bit to let people know that, it's good to be able to exercise our rights to speak up.
Hi, I'm Barb, and I would like to participate in the intention and reality experiment by asking for your healing thoughts and prayers. I took a bad fall a couple of weeks ago, and it just doesn't seem to be getting that much better. So I appreciate that.
My name is Fran, and I would like you to light a candle of concern for all of the people who may be hurt by the cuts in areas such as home heating for the indigent that are coming down the pike. Seems like a very mean way to handle our deficit. Thank you.
I'm Tracy. I just want a candle of amazement and joy of what we have been able to do with medical technology. I had a cataract removed last week, and I can see out of that eye. It is just unbelievable, something I've never done before.
I'd like a candle of concern for my mother and father. My father just had two stents put in for heart blockage again.
And a last candle for the joys and concerns which we keep in our hearts.
Next, we'll have a prayer by Reverend Tom McCready. If there is a God who listens, then he or she is listening in the people gathered here. And if the great Creator Spirit, who was before the world began, is present here among us, it is in the hearts and in the hopes of the people gathered here that the Spirit is within reach, most real, most near, and most fully with us. And now rise if you're willing and able for centering hymn number 123, Spirit of Life.
Thank you.
Now a reading by Karen Fox. Through reading, asking, listening, and observing, I have forged my own belief system that honors the vastness and wonder of nature and the universe. I believe in that which is greater than all and yet a part of each, but that, for me, is not an external God. I believe that if there is a God, it is the energy of life and all of creation. I believe that energy is what I am, what each of us is, so we are all part of that God. I believe that we each decide our own purpose in being here, in being alive. There is no God in the sky deciding what we should be doing with our lives. Our purpose is what we each decide. It is within our own being and understanding. I also believe that we are all one, part of that independent web of existence, part of that all-encompassing energy, and that what we do, say, and think has an impact on all other beginnings. Therefore, compassion, striving to understand, and kindness are essential to healing humanity. All right, I just wanted to begin by saying I'm, you know, grateful and very humble to be here to talk about intention and reality. There's been a lot of talk about intention over the last few years, especially with books like The Secret and Wayne Dyer's The Power of Intention becoming so popular. So I thought I'd tell you a little bit about my study of intention and how it has affected my chiropractic practice and teaching. I was, and still am to an extent, an analytical type. I like seeing the hard data and facts that support a given theory. Now, in chiropractic, there are basically two schools of thought when it comes to deciding which bones to move or adjust. There is the analytical school that relies on things like measurements from x-rays, biomechanical analysis, orthopedic testing, to name just a few. Then there's the sort of more ethereal approach, which relies on things like intuition and this mysterious energy that nobody sees and cannot be measured. I lean more toward the analytical approach. I did my best to analyze what was wrong with my patients, as well as how to remedy the problems. I took pride in my logical approach. After a while in practice, I began to notice that patients were getting better from a variety of modalities. These included homeopathy, acupuncture, energy work, and even things as obscure as chi bracelets. I wondered if there was an underlying mechanism that was common to all healing modalities. This led to a period of research that ended up in my book, Along the Way I Discovered Intention. So I began using intention on my patients. This was as simple as holding a healing intention during my time with them. Sometimes I would do this while I was touching them. Other times I would just think for a few moments that I wanted them to heal. What I noticed was that the more I allowed intention into my treatments, the less analysis I had to do. I noticed that the treatments became easier, I performed less adjustments, and the day seemed to go smoother than when I was stuck in the left side of my brain. I still used analysis, but now it was tempered with intention. When I began my research, I was seeking some scientific proof that a mere thought could have an effect on physical reality. I'm not talking about moving rocks or starting your car with your mind in the dead of winter or even sending a message to your spouse to take out the garbage. I was just looking to move a needle on some sensitive equipment or influence some event in some minor way. So I set out to find some sort of test that would show me the money when it came to demonstrating intention. My research led me to the random event generator studies performed at the Princeton Engineering Anomalies Research Center, or PAIR, by the likes of Roger Nelson and Dean Radin. These scientists are no slouches, and Princeton is a pretty legit college. They performed thousands of trials with random event generators, or REGs, spitting out millions of ones and zeros. Many of these trials incorporated subjects who tried to influence these machines to spit out more ones or more zeros. The data was convincing that humans can indeed have an influence over these machines by creating a small but statistically significant effect that stood up to the rigors of scientific testing. So just to elaborate a little bit on what I'm saying is that they have these machines called random event generators, and they're purely random, which is a very difficult thing to do in our universe, is to create a truly random event. So they have these machines, and they're supposed to spit out even numbers of ones and zeros, so to show that they're truly random. What they do is they have people look at these machines or think about these machines to try to influence them by getting them to spit out more ones or more zeros. And they do when they do this. They actually do have an effect. You know, people do have an effect on physical reality, which I think is pretty amazing. One interesting study that hit close to home with me was done with a healer by the name of Mr. Workus. Mr. Workus's treatments consisted of 15-minute sessions in which he used healing energy on a patient. The research team set up a reg in the treatment room and another as a control in a library 5 miles away. The regs were carefully calibrated using data from 1 million trials. Both produced exactly the same statistical output. The researchers were looking for an output from the reg that deviated from the normal random strings of ones and zeros. What the researchers found was that about 34% of the time, the regs deviated from randomness during the treatment time as compared to the control in the library. This result held up to rigorous statistical testing and could not be accounted for by chance. Mr. Workus' intention to heal had a solid effect on reducing randomness. His intention produced a change in the physical universe. I've seen other studies that support this effect, including a number from Princeton, as well as Lynn McTaggart's work with her international team of researchers. All of these studies support the idea that intention can change the physical universe. But I'm a kind of show-me guy. I want to see this effect for myself. I want to see something react to me just sitting there thinking some kind of thought or another. So I found another series of experiments carried out by a lie detector expert by the name of Cleve Baxter. Baxter was a polygraph expert who in 1966 hooked up a plant to a lie detector, hoping to measure the time it took for water to reach a leaf. Baxter found that when he thought about harming the plant, the polygraph displayed a reaction much like an alarm reaction in a human subject. This led to many follow-up experiments in testing whether plants can sense danger or pick up information from humans, with mixed results. So, since I have access to an EEG machine in my lab, I thought I would conduct my own test of intention. I visited my local Home Depot and purchased a basic philodendron for my subject. I brought the plant to my lab on my lunch hour and attached 3 sticky electrodes to 1 large leaf, being careful not to damage it. I then took a baseline reading for about a minute. So far, the EEG machine signal showed just some very mild activity, but basically a flat line. I actually really didn't expect much brain activity from a plant. So now for the spooky part. I inserted a marker in the data to let me know just when I would threaten the poor, defenseless plant. I then lit a Bunsen burner in the lab about 6 feet from the plant. I took a loop of wire and heated it to red hot with the intention of burning the plant. To my further surprise, I noticed a few blips on the screen. What was really strange was that the blips began when I thought about harming the plant, not when I actually moved toward it. I thought that perhaps the plant was picking up the heat from the wire loop. So a few days later, I again set up the experiment. This time I sat about 10 feet from the plant and just thought about hurting it. Sure enough, the blips appeared when I did and subsided when I stopped. I then thought about sending healing energy to the plant and received the same results. Blips when I thought about it, and a flat line when I didn't. Skepticism diminished. I took a good look at the data, and it appears that Cleve Baxter was really onto something, at least in my lunch hour plant torturing sessions. It seemed unlikely that the blips appeared at random, since I was thinking about affecting the plant in a threatening way when they appeared, and there was a flat line when I wasn't thinking about the plant. I thought of the Irma Bombeck quote, "Never go to a doctor whose office plants have died." So what the heck is going on here? Did the plant somehow be picking up my bad vibes? According to the intention, folks, that's what happens. Our thoughts connect to a field that connects to everything else. The plant is just reacting to information in the field. This little experiment did a couple of things for me. For one, I have a deeper respect for plants. Next, I also was able to witness something concrete about intention and the physical world. I'll be sure to be more aware of my negative thoughts in the future. Back to my practice. Now, after using intention for a few years, something very strange happened. You're going to all think I'm crazy when I tell you this, and I'll probably lose what little credibility I have left with you, but here goes. One of the tests we chiropractors use has to do with checking leg lengths. The patient lies face down on the table with their feet hanging off the end. We hold their feet side by side and look to see if one is shorter than the other. There's actually a good biomechanical explanation for this, and it has to do with the position of the pelvic bones. We can then use a reflex technique that tells how to adjust the pelvic bones. When we do this correctly, the legs even out. Anyway, after performing thousands of these leg checks, it got to the point that I thought I might be able to just think about the leg getting longer, so I tried it out on an unsuspecting patient. I basically just lightly touched the soles of both feet and thought about the short leg getting longer. Sure enough, the legs did even out. When I let go, they went back to their previous imbalanced state. I did this hundreds of times, with every time ending with the leg shortening again. So I asked another healing practitioner who does energy work, and she recommended I simply use the intention that the legs remain balanced. I did, and it worked. I incorporated this into my normal treatments and found no difference in using intention with using traditional reflex techniques. So with all of the above evidence, I'm convinced that intention does have an effect on physical reality. But the question remains about how strong is this effect? The Secret purports that the effect is very powerful. In fact, it implies that if you get sick or if you're walking down the street and a piano falls on you, you somehow attracted that event into your life by your thoughts and intention. I see it a bit differently, and this is my own lowly opinion. I see the concept of intention as a director of action. That is a very powerful thing. Some people, directed by their intentions, have gone on to do great things. However, intention has directly influenced physical reality is a different matter. The main concept has to do with my informational view of reality and some concepts in quantum mechanics, which I won't go into detail here, and remember, I'm not a physicist either. The way I understand it is that the more indeterminate an event, the more intention has potential to influence it. In other words, the more the event has no determined outcome, the better your chances are at influencing it. Also remember, the random event generator study showed a small but powerful statistical effect attributable to intention. These events were truly random and therefore not determined. Intention did affect these, but the effect was very small. Also, the power of intention increases with numbers. In other words, because the influence may have its root in quantum mechanics, the concept of quantum entanglement may be responsible. In other words, 10 people having the same intention is more powerful than one. Lastly, when dealing with people, your intention may be interfered with by others. For example, my healing intention may come up against my patient's intention to remain ill. Today I use intention in my teaching. When my students take exams, I try to hold the intention that they will do well. Since I have done this, my classes actually run a lot smoother, with very few conflicts. Sometimes it is difficult to refrain from judging them, but I continue to try not to. We never really know the full story about someone and why they do what they do. It is best for me to keep an open mind and wish them the best. Here are a few recommendations for using intention for healing. First, focus on the positive. Begin by thinking about the positive aspects of your health rather than getting caught up in the negative. For example, imagine what it would feel like to be healthy and pain-free. Think of a few words to describe this. Some examples would be words like well, happy, flexible, energetic, peaceful, rested, and at ease. It is important to focus on the positive instead of using negative words like pain, fatigue, achy, headache, sad, irritated. It is thought that negative language gives your problem energy, while positive language gives your health energy. Next, write down your intention. It is important to bring your intention from the non-physical world of ideas into the material world. This is done by writing your intention on a piece of paper or keyboarding it on your computer. By doing this, you help to solidify your intention in the real world. You also strengthen your commitment to heal. Once your intention is written, you can read it and think about it often. Your intention must make a deep connection within you. Avoid superficial statements and try to get at the essence of your healing. Sometimes it takes a good amount of reflection and development to produce an intention that connects with you on a deep level. Spend some time writing and rewriting your intention until you feel that it truly represents your positive thoughts about healing. Hold your intention and consciousness each day. Once you have written your intention, you must use it. You will need to spend some time each day thinking about your intention. This can be as brief as a few minutes or as long as you wish. The best time is right after waking up in the morning and right before bedtime. Practice meditation or relaxation techniques such as deep breathing. You know, this can also help you maintain your focus. This should be done daily because we are bombarded by information and tend to forget and lose focus. And lastly, practice healing intention with gratitude. Do this with a sense of gratitude for your life and your health. There are scientific studies that say people who are grateful live happier, healthier, and more fulfilling lives. Gratitude helps us to focus on the positive, to be grateful for what we have in the present. You can include a statement about gratitude in your healing intention. We live in a statistical universe. Our intentions can influence change in events, but they are not absolute. Your intention does matter, though, and it does affect physical reality. My recommendation is to keep an open mind and hold on to your positive intentions. As the old axiom states, be careful what you wish for. Thank you. Right now, stand if you're willing and able for hymn number 126, Come Thou Font of Every Blessing. Closing words are, Let Us Sing the Magic of Imagination by Susan Van Dresser. Let us sing the magic of imagination by which we know one another and learn the lives of eras gone by. Let us sing the magic of creation by which we build the world of our soul and teach its wisdom to others, young and old. Let us sing the magic of our lives together, holding and shaping by the movement of breath, from heart to lung, all new life that is to come. Go now with singing. Go now with magic in your fingertips. Touch this world with life.
We do have time. We have plenty of time for a polylog if you have any thoughts to share or questions for Bruce. Please raise your hand. The usher will bring a microphone for you and go right ahead.
Okay, my name is Kat, and I have Bruce's book. And I have been dealing with the intention to heal myself for over 3-4 years. And I must say that it works. I had just recently had a great conversation with my physician, and I said to my physician, and I have a very good relationship with my physician, and I said to him, I said, I need to work on my illness and my condition with mind and body and spirit. And so I think I'm trying to work on my mind issue, but I want you to work on my body issue. So then he says, well, Kay, he calls me Kay. So he says, that's very interesting. He said, that you're right, you have to deal in all three areas. He said, before Viagra came on the market, EDS is considered to be 50% mind and 50% physical. And when the Viagra hit the market, then they said, well, now it's 90% physical and 10% mind. And now that Viagra in the market for quite a few years, now it is considered it's 100% mind, 90% physical. So he said, keep that in mind. So this just fits perfectly with your...
Thank you, Kaz. I would ask you, are his plants alive in the office or are they dead? A fake plant. Ah, you're safe. You're safe with the fake plants. I used to have fake plants in my office, too, because they always look good. Great.
Bruce, my name is Mike, and I can vouch for what Kaz was just saying about the Viagra. It is 100% mind, I think. I was very happy to hear everything that you had to say. Most of what you were saying is exactly the same reason why I'm here. Being an agnostic and not being able to rely on supernatural powers to fix my life for me, when all I really need to do is to get it into my head that my life doesn't need fixing. So I really appreciate everything that you said. And simply to reinforce it, when I saw the name of this of the talk of being about intention or intentionality, I was immediately reminded of Edmund Husserl, the turn of the century, that is to say 19th to 20th century, philosopher who had a myriad of continental philosopher students like Heidegger and Sartre and Levinas and Paul Ricoeur, and the list goes on and on and on, who all used his phenomenological method, which basically means this. The mind is not something contained inside the brain. The mind, that is to say, the who of who I am, the person part, the transcendent self, if you want to call it that, is out there. That is to say, my world is out there, but I'm out there with it. And we are simply not contained as persons, and therefore as thinking persons are contained by our bodies at all. And this is pretty hardcore, as you know, analytical, discursive philosophy. We're not talking Buddhism or New Age philosophy or astrology or anything like this. This is really hardcore stuff.
Thanks, Mike. You know, it's very interesting because I haven't really gotten into the some philosophical, you know, data there, but, you know, in quantum mechanics, they talk about the out there and then your experience and that there is no out there, that you're part of that, too, that it's the observer effect, you know, how the observers have effects on events. So science kind of backs that up as well. You know, so philosophy and science kind of converge along the ways. Thank you. Excellent.
Getting to the whole concept, you see, getting to the concept of out there and in there, at one point, there's so many points, but the whole concept of karma and that being out there, and if you do something bad, someday down the line, that will come back and get you. Well, this, what you're saying brings it more to me on an onboard thing. It's something that you have done, and your intentions
will trip you up because of your mindset and the way you carry out your thoughts. So it really personalizes that versus it being, as a lot of religions used to tend to make it, you know, if you do something bad, boy, something out there will get you. Well, it's you'll get yourself.
Thank you. Yeah, it's hard to generalize like that. And I know from my personal experience, it's a daily thing to try to have positive intentions and not to judge. And, you know, I work with a lot of students. It's hard not to judge the students when they don't do their work or whatever. And really keep an open mind. It's just, it's a daily process. You know, it's, I'm not, you know, perfect at it either, but it's something that I work on. I try to work on every day, so.
Bruce, I have just a question. Mm-hmm. So intention can be, you know, I guess most general, positive or negative, pessimistic or optimistic. Have you seen studies as to whether there is more power in one than the other? And in your planned experiment, you were negative energy. I don't know if you've noticed a difference, even though you said the effect was obviously small versus positive intention.
I haven't seen any hard data on that. What the hard data has to do with these random event generators, and basically they're just like looking at influencing, spitting out more ones or more zeros, so it's not really positive or negative. In my personal experience with the plant, it didn't make a difference either. When I thought good things like healing the plant or hurting the plant was the same output. So I don't know. You know, I don't know if there's anything out there that looked at the difference between. Because then I guess you would have to get into defining what's positive and what's negative and different cultures and, you know, but I haven't seen data on that. It's a good idea, though.
I'm Mary. I'm very interested in what you're talking about. My background is in engineering, and then as I turned 40, I went back to school and just am completing my doctorate in psychology. So I work with college students in Madison and doing psychotherapy. And I am really very much a pure sort of scientist, left brain. And so I'm very excited to have you share your references. And at the same time, you know, working with people, a major modality in which I work with them is working with their thinking. And of course, working with my thinking about them. So the intention that I have for them does have just a very marked effect. You know, when I'm optimistic for someone, or it seems to have an effect to me. I don't have data to demonstrate that at all. But at the same time, you know, the intention I have for a student who is, you know, struggling or who is feeling anxious or very depressed seems to really at least affect their thinking to an extent that sometimes has a positive benefit. So, but I'm very interested in the whole concept of randomness and how intention affects randomness, and I've never seen anything like you're describing, so I'm excited to see that.
Great, thanks. You know, there's a, I don't know if any of you know the Global Consciousness Project, but there's a website, and this is kind of born out of the work from Princeton, where they have these random event generators all over the world, and they try to correlate the non-randomness with major world events. And the biggest event, of course, was 9/11. What was really freaky was that the random event generators started going non-random or showing anomalies, as they say, something like an hour before the first plane hit. So it was like this, and it was the biggest, you know, deviation from randomness that they've ever seen was 9/11. So, but all the data is on the website, it's called the Global Consciousness Project, supported by Princeton. So there's some more hard data out there too.
This is Laura. Thank you for your presentation today. It was wonderful. I really believe our minds are the untapped greatest resource that we have. It's just phenomenal what you can do with your mind. And we haven't really explored hardly any of it yet. We're just starting to. And it's a lot of fun. One thing I wanted to add is a lot of people with the intention and positive affirmations and thought think that, you know, they just say the words and they put it out and, you know, it'll work. But what you need to do is put the muscle of feeling behind it. You have to actually feel in every fiber of your being that it's already a reality. And that is what gives it the punch that puts it through into manifesting. Thank you.
Thanks, Laura. Yeah, I totally agree with that. You know, when years ago when I first started, I was in the the positive thinking, you know, they had all the positive thinking programs out there, and you just had note cards, and you'd read them over and over again, but if it didn't resonate with you, it really wouldn't have an effect. That's why you have to really go deep and try to come up with something that hits you at your core, that's from your core, versus just a superficial statement. So I totally agree.
Hi, Angel. I just want to first off say I agree with Mike when he said that he's out there. And
I'm with you, Mike.
Hey, Mike. The pendulum thing you were doing, well, with the beads, it's called the pendulum. They sell those as in like crystal stores, like you can psychically tell what branches are. And I got one mainly because it was pretty and shiny. And the kids and I were playing with it, and I was showing them how it worked, and they were just like, oh, my God. And I explained to them, without using the term intention, that inside you know the answers. You can ask it all the questions you want, but you know the answers inside. So as they were doing it, that they were just amazed that it was giving the right answers. And I just kind of explained to them, but now I guess I just didn't think it along the lines of intention. I can go back to them and use that word and maybe explain it to them better. But, yeah, it's fascinating. They peddle that as you can get your psychic answers, but they're not from anywhere but inside you or, you know, around you, but you know the answers.
Thanks.
It was interesting to see you do that.
Thanks. Yeah, I wasn't aware they used it for that. I've seen it as in hypnosis. You know, they use it as a precursor to hypnosis. And I've used it in demos before. I used to coach skating, and I do it with groups of students when they do this. And we do imagery to go through their routines, and I use it as a demo to show them that imagery actually would work. You know, that their body does respond to, you know, what their mind is telling them. So we do relaxation and imagery exercise to get them ready for competitions and things. And, you know, I use that for that, but I wasn't aware of the other use though. That's interesting. Thanks.
Hi, it's Barb again. Lori, you're saying that emotion and feeling is the muscle, is so important with intention. I think that using our words to those we deal with in love or if love not every day are far more powerful than we often realize. And we need to be careful.
I'm Janice, and I, of course, think it's really powerful, the positive thinking and for healing. But I also think it's really important to think of it as a complementary approach, and that it's a big responsibility to know when you need more help. And as a pharmacist, I mean, one of my most important jobs when someone comes in for over-the-counter questions is to say, should this person be going to the doctor? I've had people come in and say, I have chest pain. What do you think I should be taking? And somebody who comes to a chiropractor or somebody who comes to a psychologist might have other medical important questions. So that's where I think it's important to really look at the responsibility and, you know, what you can do with positive thinking and then what else maybe you need to do. So not to diminish what positive thinking can do.
Right, thank you. Yeah, it's a really good, it's a piece of the whole healing puzzle, I guess, is you know, there are a lot of other things that go along with that as well. And so your thoughts on the Viagra issue being a pharmacist would be... That's another topic. The placebo effect. That's a good one. The placebo effect.
It's a tough one to follow. This is Terry. But Bruce and I have talked about heart math, and this has so much to do with that. I could go on and on, but I encourage you to look at the websites and the GCI project there. The Global Coherence Project is exactly that, the random particles, but uniting intentions. But on the other hand, as far as tools as to measure your emotions and your intentions, the scientists there for over 25 years have found this great connection between emotions and the amygdala and measuring it in heart rate variability. So I teach high school and I use my students, use M-waves, and it reads just that. And so it lets them know when you are doing the heart breathing, heart feeling, and getting into that coherent rhythm, which is a measurable synchronization, which is a great tool. And just to segue on to Laura's, yes, the brain is awesome, but their research also shows that with electromagnetometers, your brain you can read from 6 inches, your heart 6 feet, and it's 5,000 times stronger. So the heart energy and the brain ganglia in the heart is kind of the latest research that it's much more powerful, happy Valentine's Day, than we've ever known. The heart, you know, intelligence is really powerful, and that gets into the whole intuition and intention, you know, isn't just a feeling.
Great. Thank you, Terry.
My name is Angela, and I went to UW-Milwaukee. I just graduated last year, and I work with computers for a living, and I thought that would get me away from having to think with my other side of the brain, but it really doesn't. A lot of times if I'm working with a computer and I'm frustrated or mad, it actually fails. So I really do believe that you do have an effect on machines.
Yeah, I noticed that with the CD player last week.
Yeah, speaking of machines, I read in one of your many scientific magazines around the house that when people are work a lot with machines in the military, like drones, that they actually do, the drone itself takes on its own behavior, independent and apart from its programmer.
Well, I didn't read that. That's pretty good.
Cause again, to Terry's comment, in this my mind and body and spirit route, I had my mind issue. I went to another MD, and so trying to figure out what triggers my physical effect, you know, what stresses. And in that process, she put the electrode on my hand and measured exactly what Terry was talking about, is measuring the wavelength of my heart. And so she put that on, and when I was talking to her, it was the horizontal going. And then she told me to, okay, close your eyes and meditate. Now, I have been meditating in over a year or two prior to this, so okay. So then I closed my eyes, meditated, and she said, okay, think about the white light coming into you, da 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 da. So I just thought about the white light coming in. And literally, and I can notice, literally my wave that was going horizontal shoot up off the chart. And she said, oh my God, I have never seen anybody go off the chart. And so whatever that moving upward is, and I said, okay, so that's all nice, but what does it really mean to me? I mean, I don't feel any different, you know. And so she says, well, one thing for sure, you will not die of a heart attack. So it does, the mind and the body does have a connection.
Thanks, Kaz.
I'm Christy, and I just wanted to share a story about my mom. This is back in 1994. She was diagnosed with inflammatory breast cancer. It's a very aggressive form. It spreads very quickly, but they had caught it early, but it doesn't really matter because it can spread so fast. But she was at stage 5, and she didn't have a good prognosis for survival, even in that first year, and her 5-year survival rate was practically non-existent. And she, you know, I'm her oldest daughter, but she had 2 young kids at home, and she's alive today. I'll get that in there. But yeah, she did do everything, you know, that the doctors and the professionals were recommending, and all the treatments that she could take advantage of. And of course, that was not easy, but she also did incorporate a lot of imagery and a lot of meditation, and, you know, kind of thinking about the cells being attacked, and, you know, even drawing pictures, and I think it was a was trying to think of a few of the other professionals, but I know she had studied the works of Deepak Chopra, was one of the people, and she had some other books. But yeah, she really kind of heart, mind, and soul. I mean, everything besides just the medical angle, you know, to get through that. And so yeah, you kind of always wonder, and it's interesting, you know, what possible impact that she made herself rather than just the medical treatments.
Great, thank you for sharing that experience. Yeah, just like, you know, healing is multidimensional. It's physical and emotional and, you know, mental, and so there's a lot of parts to it. Anybody else? Oh, just one more, so I guess we'll do the last one.
That made me think, when Sam had her accident, the girl in the car called me, or called her brother. Her brother got me, and I was at the accident. And I kept begging them to tell me where she was. They wouldn't tell me because they thought I was going to barge into the ambulance. I don't know what they thought. They finally told me, and I went and I leaned up against that ambulance. And I begged, God, take me, not her, because they were telling me all those things that you hear on TV when the person's dying or dead. Oh, she's a fire. You know, they were telling me all that shit. It was freaking me out. So I leaned up against that ambulance, and I begged them not to take her. I begged them to take me, not her. And I just was so intense with this, and they kept trying to get me to go in the car. I said, no, and I go right back to it. And I sat there and did that until my parents came and dragged me off, whatever. And she died three times. And the last time they called off the flight for life, and they gave up, and she came back. And everybody tells me it was that, me standing there doing that, that brought her back, and now it's like, yeah, whatever. But maybe it did bring her back, you know, as I was very intense in that thought process. So, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, very powerful. So anybody else? All right, so I guess that will wrap it up for the service today. So, a little traveling music, I guess.